Shir's Masechta Yevamos Daf Nun Dalad, we will begin on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. As we had learned in the previous Mishnah, the Mishnah taught us that when a Yavam has relations with his Yavama, he is kind of her, she becomes his wife. And the Mishnah said that even if those relations were done under the circumstances of oinus, ask the Gemara, honor the Mesnis and Hechidami. What exactly are the circumstances that the Mishnah means when it says it was ba'oinus? Ilema, perhaps it meant, kashensua oivdekachavim, when Goyim forced him to have relations with the Yavama, or ba'ala. Ask the Gemara, Vama Rava, that's not considered onus. That's not considered forced. Because ein oinus l'erva, there is never a concept of oinus regarding relations, regarding a erva, l'fishayin kishu el l'das. So there's a machloikis harishonim, how to understand this Gemara. Some rishonim explain that the Gemara is referring to a situation where Goyim told a person that he must have relations with a woman, in our case, his Yavama, and if he will not have relations, they'll kill him. And under those circumstances, the Gemara wants to suggest that would be considered oinus, he was forced. On that, the Gemara says, we can't consider that a situation that he was forced, because he obviously was able to perform. He was able to perform, that means he was agreeable and he was willing to do it, and therefore it's not considered forced. Tosfos takes exception with that pshat, because Tosfos says that if someone was told that if he's going to not have relations with a woman, he will be killed, the fact that he's able to perform doesn't mean that he did it willingly. He did it because he was scared that if he will not perform, he'll get killed. And that's not considered not oinus. Therefore, Tosfos explains that the Gemara is referring to a situation where Goyim told a person, you have to have relations with a woman that he's not supposed to have relations with. They didn't say that if you'll have those relations, if you won't have those relations, we'll kill you. But they threatened him. They said, you have to do it. Since he's not under the threat of death, it can't be considered oinus, because the fact that he was able to perform is a proof that he's doing it willingly. However, what's related to our Gemara, we see that if a person is aware that he's having relations, even if he was forced, he was coerced into doing this, that's not considered oinus. So our Gemara comes back to its original Shaila. Our Mishnah said that if a Yavam has relations with his Yavama, but oinus, it's considered a bia, and it's considered that he become husband and wife. The question is, again, what is the circumstance of oinus? Says the Gemara El B'Yoshim. He did it while he was sleeping. Asked the Gemara, V'amar Rav Yehuda, Lo Yoshin, Lo Kana B'Yavimta. If one has relations while he's sleeping, the Gemara will discuss this more later in the Yomid, it's not considered a valid bia that she should become his wife. So we have here Machlaikas Rashi and Tosfos. Why not? Rashi says, because a person who is sleeping is not considered a bar das. The way Tosfos seems to understand what Rashi is saying, that a person who's sleeping is like a cotton. And just like a cotton doesn't have das, so too is a person who's sleeping incapable of doing a bia in order to make this Yavama his wife. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi's pshat, because Tosfos says that the halacha is that das is not required to affect yibum. What's the raya? He said because a cheresh, somebody who the Gemara usually considers not a bar das, does become a yavam husband even when he does bia. That's why Tosfos says a yoshin has no das. He doesn't realize what he's doing, and that's why he doesn't have the ability to make a yavama his wife. There's a very interesting Karen Ladovit that asks a number of questions on Rashi's pshat. The way, as we explained, Rashi seems to hold, a yoshon, somebody who's sleeping, is not considered a mechuyi b'mitzvah. He's not considered somebody who's obligated to do mitzvahs. Ask the Karen Ladovit, there are a number of areas of halacha that clearly demonstrate that that's not the din. The halacha is, he says, let's say a kohen is sleeping in a house, and someone passes away in that house, that a kohen is not allowed to be in the house of a mace. The halacha is that they have to wake up the kohen and say, you have to leave the house, there's a body in the house. If a yoshin is not considered a mechuyev mitzvah, why does he have to be woken up? Another example is the halacha is that let's say someone is sleeping and this man Krishma is approaching. The halacha is he has to be woken up to say Krishma before this man passes. Why? If he's a yoshin, he's not mechuyev mitzvah. A third example the Karen David gives. The halacha is that if there's a minion in the house, or there isn't a minion, and the only way we have a minion is because one of the people is sleeping, he can be counted towards the minion. If a yoshin is not mechuyev mitzvahs, how could he be counted towards the minion? Therefore, the Karen David says that even Rashi agrees that just because someone is sleeping doesn't mean he becomes a katan, doesn't mean he becomes a cherish, not obligated in mitzvahs. He just doesn't have any mental capacity, and since he has no mental capacity, the Gemara is saying he is not able to make a kinyan in his yavam. Says the Gemara, El Benitka. What happened was, as the Gemara will explain, that he had intention to have relations with his wife, and he fell down, and he was on top of a roof, and he fell down, and instead of landing on his wife, he landed on his yavam and had relations with her. And so since he had this situation where he fell down in the middle, that's not considered that his original intention is valid. In fact, the Taz says, different than what seems Rashi is saying, the Taz says, let's say he began with intention to have relations with his Yavama. But then before having those intentions, he fell off the roof. Since that's a traumatic event, falling off the roof, that negates the original intention, and therefore even if he ended up having relations with his Yavama, it will not be considered that there was any intention, and it was considered the situation of Ba'oinus. Ela Beniska asked the Gemara, Vama Rabba said, Nafal Menagag, if somebody fell off the roof, Beniska, and he had relations with a woman, Chai Ba'arvet Varm. We know that the halach is, and the Gemara will discuss this more again also in this Amid, that if one does damage to another person, he's chayiv to pay nezek, tsar, ripui, shevis. Here too, if someone's on the roof and he fell down on another person, he's chayiv in these four payments. However, the Rishonim point out, he's only chayiv in these four payments if he fell down with ruach metzuya, that the wind that blew him down is a wind that one could expect to come. But if there was a ruach sheinah metzuya, so it was totally something that was unexpected, then he would not be chayiv in any payment. Furthermore, say the Rishonim, that let's say when he fell off the roof, there was no one there, and only as he was falling down, someone came, he too would not be chayiv in these payments. Ubi yivimta, and if he fell on his yivama, under such circumstances, loikana. So again, where we come back to, this cannot be the situation of Oinus of our Mishnah, because the Gemara is saying that this doesn't affect a kinyan in the Yavama. Says the Gemara, what happened was the man had intention to have relations with his wife, the Takvasa Yavamta, and his Yavama pushed away his wife, and he had relations with her instead, and that's how he had relations with her. That's the case of Oinus. And as the Ritva explains, it doesn't necessarily have to be that the Yavam is the one that pushed the wife away. It could be that Goyim pushed the wife away and put the Yavam there instead. The point is that when he had the relations, he had intention to do relations, and there was no action interrupting that intention, but instead of he intended to have relations with his wife, and it ended up having relations with his Yavam. And Nusa, the Rav Chiya Hechidami, because as we learned in yesterday's shir, Rav Chiya took the Mishnah one step further. Rav Chiya said not only if the Yavam is an Anus, but even in a situation where both of them, Shneim and Nusim, both the Yavam and Yavam are Anusim, still it's considered an effective Yibum. Ask the Gemara, Heichi Dami, what is that a case? Says the Gemara, Kegon Shneskavin L'Ishtoi, he had intention to have relations with his wife, The Goyim forced, pushed his wife away and put the Yavama there without her knowledge, or Baalel. And that's how he had relations with her. So both of them didn't have relations with each other with prior consent, and still it's considered effective Yibam. Darach HaShulchan uses this Gemara to prove a Shaila that we discussed in the previous year. We asked that the Rishonim discuss the Yibam is affected with Bia, and the question is, do we have to have Edim for the Yibam? And we discussed different rayas and different stardom, different opinions. Here says Darach HaShulchan, all of these situations that the Gemara is discussing, where somebody didn't have any intention to have relationship with the Yavama didn't have any intention to have relationship with the man, they just were sort of spoken, forced into a situation, they certainly didn't prepare Edom for this. Yet the Gemara says it's an effective Yibam. So it's a proof that Edom aren't required. Menani Mili, asking Rav, from where do we know that a Bia without intention is still considered an effective Bia for Yibam? The Tana Rabbanan, the Pasuk says, Yavama Yavala Mitzvah. The Mitzvah is to perform Yibam. Dava Acher, Yavama Yavala, Bein B'Shoigig, Bein B'Mezid, Bein B'Oynes, Bein B'Rotzen, under all circumstances, she becomes his wife. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that this Pasuk is teaching us this din, shoyig, mezid, etc., for fitta mitzvah? A line ago, we said that this Pasuk is coming to teach us that the preferable mitzvah is to do bia, not chalitza. Answers the Gemara, le mitzvah mi'im lo yachbitz ish nafka. That we learned from the Pasuk that says, preferably do yibim. If you don't want to do yibim, do chalitza. Hachafetz, what do we prefer? Yabim. The chiyosik raw. So therefore, the pasuk of Yavama Yavaleh is left over to teach us bein b'shogig, bein b'mezid, bein b'oynis, bein b'rotz. Ask the Ramban. Here, the Gemara is clearly indicating that Yibum is the preferable mitzvah. Ask the Ramban. We know that Abba Shol, and actually, that's the way the Ramah Paskin says, don't do Yibum because we said Abba Shol said that somebody does Yibum l'shem noy l'shem yoifi. It's a disqualified yibum. The karb the enai liyos havlad mamzer. And here the Gemara is clearly indicating that it's a mitzvah to do yibum. So the Ramban answers that even Abba Shol, who advocates doing chalitza because it's not sure that the yibum will be effective, that's only midrabbanan. Certainly Abba Shol agrees that midaraisa yibum is preferable over chalitza. Also Rabbi Kiva Eger says it interesting. Here the Gemara says that even without any intent, the Yibam is effective. So he asks Shaila, what would be the halacha if a person had hepech kavona? What does hepech kavona mean? He clearly had a mind that he's having relations with his Yavama, but he clearly has a mind, I do not want her to become my wife based on this act. What will be the halacha then? Rabbi Kivega says, since our Gemara says that as long as there's relations between the Yavam and Yavama, she becomes his wife, even in a situation where he clearly had a mind that she should not become his wife with these relations, she still would become his wife. Tanya Idach. Yavama Yavaleo Kedarka. He has relations in the national way. Velocha Shaloi Kedarka. That even if he does it in the non-natural way, she also becomes his wife. Asks the Rishonim. We know, and we'll discuss this a lot in the next couple of Shurim, that the Pasuk says, Mishkevei Isha, that whenever the Torah speaks about relations, the halacha is both Kedarka and Shloi Kedarka are considered valid relations. So why do I need a special Pasuk by Yavama that Shloi Kedarka becomes his wife? Of course, all over Shas, Shloi Kedarka is considered a Bia. Answer the Rishonim, very simple teretz. The entire purpose of Yibam, as we've been learning, is Lahokum Shem L'Ochiv, that he should have children. When there's a Bia Shaloi Kedarka, obviously she can't get pregnant. So therefore I would say that by Yibam, Bia Shaloi Kedarka is not effective. That's why we need a Pasuk to say that it is considered effective. And in fact, based on this, many Rishonim suggest that if he did a Bia Shaloi Kedarka, she would become his wife, but he would have to do another Bia to do it, be a kadaka, to do it the right way, to really fulfill the mitzvah properly. Continues the Gemara, V'yavim, the Baisa says, be a gomerispa, be a affects the kinyan, then kesavishtar gomerimba. Not any other type of kedushin that we normally have kesavishtar. Asked Ritva, this Baisa seems to indicate the position of Beishamai. As we've been learning, Beishamai is the man the Omer, that Maimer, Kedusha, Kesavishtar, do have an effect by Yavama. Because what is this Baisa saying? That Van Kesavishtar Gomerimba, that means that they have an effect, but they don't make her completely his wife, but they do have relevance. According to Beis Hillel, as we've been learning so many times, Maimer is nothing Midaraisa, which would be difficult that the Baisa is going according to Beis Shammai, not according to Beis Hillel. Says Ritva, the way you have to understand the Baisa according to Beis Hillel is the Baisa is drawing a contrast. And the Baisa is saying that only Bia is effective, Kesavishtar have absolutely no room. V'yivma, Bal Korcha. That even if she did it against her will, she becomes his wife. Dova Acha, Yivama Yovalea, Bein B'shogig. Ask the Gemara, V'afiktele Kedarka. We already used this pasuk to teach us that the Yibam is effective Kedarka. Answers the Gemara, that we learn from the pasuk that teaches us that the purpose of Yibam is to build up his brother who died's name, but makom shekem shem, and therefore this pasuk could be left to teach us ben b'shogeg ben b'mezid. It's interesting. There's a story where someone lost his brother, and his brother was a mumer. He didn't believe in anything, and the question was. The question that was posed to Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, is there a chiyuv of yibam or chalitza to a brother's widow who the brother was a mumer? So he says, the pasuk says, l'hakim shame. Everybody needs to have hakim shame. And even if the brother was a mumer, yibam and chalitza are done to his widow. Gufa. Amar Yehuda, yoshin lekana b'yivimtai. If somebody is sleeping, as the Gemara said on top of the Amid, he can't affect a bia in his yivama. Dama kra, yivama yavala, adam chavon lo l'shem bia. He has to have kavana. So Taisha says that even though the Braisa here says that kavana is required, it doesn't mean that you have to have full-fledged intention. Because as we've learned and will continue to learn, certainly we don't have to have full-fledged attention. The yavam doesn't have to have full-fledged intention that the bia should be effective. It means that some sort of kavana is required, doesn't require full-fledged intention. Ask the Gemara for Tanya, the Braisa says, Bein Era Bein Yoshin, that even if he's sleeping, it is effective. Ema Bein Ora Bein Yishana. If she's sleeping, totally sleeping, still the Kedushin is effective. And the Malbim brings a beautiful Raya. He says, if we look in the pasuk that we've been quoting that discusses the mitzvah of Yibam, he says, the pasuk says, Yavama Yava Aleha. Normally, when the pasuk speaks about Bia, they're equals, the man and the woman. Here it says, Yavam Yava Aleha. He's in the dominant position. Because she, even if she's not aware at all of what's happening, it's still going to be an effective Yibam. So the Gemara is suggesting she could be sleeping, but he can't. Ask the Gemara about Tanya, Bein Arhu, Bein Yeshenhu, whether he's up or sleeping, Bein Arhi, Bein Yeshenhu, or she's awake or sleeping. So here it clearly says that he could be sleeping and it still be effective. Hachem Ma'eskin, it says the Gemara, when the Braisa says that he's sleeping, it doesn't mean that he's totally asleep, it's been misnamnim. He's in a drowsy state. Hechi Dami misnamnim, what does that mean? Omer of Ashi, Nim V'loi Nim, Tir V'loi Tir, he's not really sleeping, he's not really up. Kigoyim to Karlei V'ani, if he were called, he could answer. However, V'layada Raduri Svara, he's not awake enough that he could have a full-fledged, intelligent conversation. However, Chimitzkur Le'mitkur, if he's reminded of something, he'll remember. As Mepharshim explained, if you'll ask him, where did you put a specific item, he's too drowsy to remember. But if you say, you know, didn't you put that item in that spot? He says, sure, that's what I did. That's what this means. There's also a Tosfos that says, nim v'loy nim, tir v'loy tir. He says, very nice pshat. We know at the beginning of the night, when a person's going to sleep, he first starts falling asleep until he's completely asleep. And in the morning, it's just the opposite. The person starts getting up until he's completely awake. Nimvloinim is at the beginning of the night. He's sleeping, but he's not totally asleep. He's just starting to fall asleep. Tevelaitir means the morning. He's up. He's getting up, but he's not completely up. He's just getting up. Amarav. Continues the Gemara again. Amarav, repeating a Gemara that we learned on top of the Amid. Nafal Menagag. If somebody fell off the roof, the Niska, and he falls on a person, Chay Be'arbet Varm. He's Chayiv in four things. Nezek, Tsar, Ripui, and Shevis. What's Nezek? Nezek is damage. That now the person maybe got depreciated in value, because maybe what he did previously he can no longer do. We, as the Gemara says many times, Bavakama, we sell him. We see how much would he be worth sold as a slave before this damage and after the damage. Tsar is the pain that he went through. Ripui is the doctor bills. And as we know, the halacha's doctor bills means that he has to pay the doctor, and he can't legislate which doctor the person should go to. On the other hand, the patient can say, you know what, I won't go to a doctor and give me what the doctor would cost. And Shevis means unemployment. And as Mefarshim explained, unemployment in his new position, because we already paid the difference what he was worth to what he is worth. Avo continues the Gemara, Uvi Yevimta Laikona. He's not kinda the Yavama. That's not considered even an onus. But I did see that the Mefarshim suggests that even though it's not at all considered lahalocha biya, it does have the status of a mimer. That the halacha is that once mimer is done with a widow, she becomes the only widow with whom yibum should be done, to the exemption of the other widows. That even though this is not called a biya, it will have as much of the status of a mimer. The nezek b'tsar, the shevis b'rifui, that's what he has to pay. Avaboishis loy mechayiv. He won't have to pay for any humiliation that was caused. Domemar, ein chayiv alaboishis, there is no responsibility to pay boishis, actually skavin, unless it was done intentionally. Omer, Rava, says Rava, nova alocha. Niskavin letiach b'koysel. He intended to press himself against the wall. V'tiach b'yivamta, and instead, he had relations with his Yivama, like Connor. That's not considered a bia that will make her his wife. However, Latiach Behema, he had intention to have relations with an animal, Latiach Yivama, and he then had instead relations with his Yivama, Connor. The Kamachav L'Shem B'Yivayim, he had some intention to have relations. So we learned in the Mishnah, Acher Hama'ara, even if he just began having relations, that's considered a bia. Amar Ula, Menayin L'Hara Menatayra. How do we know that just having the beginning of relations is considered a ma'isa biya? Shenema, the pasuk says, v'yish asher yishkav as isha dova, if a person has relations with a woman who's a nida, v'gila as arvasa, as mikara hera, mikan la rama natayra. From here we see that just having the beginning of relations is considered a ma'isa biya. Ask the Gemara, ashkha nida. So this pasuk proves that by a nida, just having the beginning of relations is considered a ma'isa biya. Ask the Gemara, Shara Rayas Minoin. How do we know that this halacha applies to all other women, that when you have a forbidden relation, even if you just had a hara, it's considered Maisa Biya? Ask the Gemara, V'chitei Menel F'Menida. We should learn from a nida. Just like by nida, hara is considered a Maisa Biya, so too by all Ervis. Says the Gemara, we can't learn from nida. Malin, nida, she came with Tamas by Allah. Nida has a very specific chumra that a person that has relations with a nida, a man that has relations with a nida, becomes tame. That is not the case in any other erva. Al asyum eishes ach. We learn from the pasuk of eishes ach. The ksiv, v'ishe sheyikach eishes ochiv, nidahi. Ask the Gemara, the pasuk is difficult to understand. V'chi eishes ochiv lo'olam nidahi. Does it necessarily mean that while he's having relations with his sister-in-law, she must be a nida? Ella, what is the pasuk teaching us? Kenida. The Torah is comparing this relationship just like what the Torah discusses by Anida. Manida, just like by Anida, we learned the hara. As soon as hara is done, it's considered that there was a maisabia. Af eishes ach the hara. And that serves as the source that hara is considered a maisabia. Ask the Gemara, how can we learn from that pasuk? Mal eishes ach, she came beyond the rabbis. By an eishes ach, It's an erva that can be multiplied. So as the Mefarshim explained, there are two categories of arayas. There's certain ervas that it is what it is. Usually it's the blood relatives. You only can have one mother. You can have only a certain amount of sisters. However, having sister-in-laws, your brother-in-law, your brother can marry 1,000 women, as the Gemara says. Diboi, if your brother wanted, Magdish for Ozil Ki Alpha, he could even marry up to 1,000 women. So how can we learn from Eishes Ach to all other Erevus? Maybe it's only referring to a situation that his brother, where the amount of Erevus can be multiplied. But an Erevah like a sister, a mother, that cannot be multiplied, maybe there won't be halacha, that halacha is considered a Maisabiyah. Ask Tosfos. We see that the Gemara doesn't make this difference. Because the halacha is, how do we know, we discussed this Gemara already, how do we know that Kedushin is not Tosfos, is not effective by Chayv Krisis? Because we learn it from a Chayis Isha. So the question is, a chayis isha is an erev that can be multiplied. I could keep on marrying women. Answers Tosfos, there it's an erev that I can multiply. Eishes ach is an erev that not I can multiply, my brother can multiply, and that's why it's unique erev, and it can't be used as a source that harah is a maisabiyah. Ella says, the Gemara, ask him a chayis av, a chayis ein. What does the pasuk say? Hara? To teach us that Hara is a Maisabia. Ask the Gemara, Ikla Mifrach, we could ask a question on this. Mal chos ava chos aim, shekoin osabom elov. These are blood relatives. How do we know other types of relatives will also apply the din of Hara? And like Tosfos says, blood relatives are taken care of from the pasuk of achos av achos aim. Non-blood relatives are taken care of the pasuk eishes ach. So which erev do we still need to learn? We need to learn eishes ish, says Tosfos, because eishes ish is not a blood relative, and it's not even a relative at all. How do we know that if somebody just had a harah with eishes ish, it's considered that he had a relationship with eishes ish? That's what the Gemara is trying to figure out. Says the Gemara, Michadalai Asya. For any one of these individual sources, we can't learn Eishes Ish, Eschai Baharah. However, ask the Gemara, Tesi Michad Mitati. Perhaps let's learn at Sadashava, combine two of the sources, and that should then serve as a source of teaching us that a Ra is a Maisabiyah. Ask the Gemara, hey Tesi, which two sources do you want to combine? Tesi, do you want to combine Eishes Ach Vachos Av, Imalahanach? Both of these have the common denominator, Shekenes Surim Shem Sher, that they're your relatives, and Eishes Ish is not a relative. Ella, suggests the Gemara, Taisim in need of Achos Av Vachosim. Learn from a combination of a need and Achos Av Vachosim. Malahanach, Sheken Issabam Elof. They're not relations that one caused. Eishes Ish is human, is made by a human when he marries his wife. Says the Gemara, Taisim in need of Eishes Ach. Let's learn from a combination of Nida Vechisach. The Maiparach. If you're going to say that Nida has the Chumrah, that she makes her husband Tomei, we'll learn from Eishesach. If we'll say Eishesach can be multiplied, we'll learn from Nida. And these are man-made, Eishesach is a man-made Erva. Maskula, Rav Acha Bereid Ravika, we can learn from this combination. Eishes Ish is still different. Mal in Nidav Eishes Ach, Shekein Elam Cheter B'chaya Oisram. As long as a person is alive, so one cannot live with his wife who's a Nida, and one cannot live with a sister-in-law. Time of Eishes Ish, as even when a husband is alive, there is a circumstance that you can live with this woman. Shekein Yeshla Cheter B'chaya Oisram. How? If he divorces her. So how can we learn Eishes Ish from Nidav Eishes Ach? Onlay of Acha Midifta L'Ravina. So as the Ritva explains, what the Gemara is saying is, the Gemara says that Nidav and Eishes Ach cannot serve as a source to teach us what the halacha is with Eishes Ish. What the Gemara is doing now, says the Ritva, is sticking to that concept, but just saying that the way the Gemara worded the question, why Nida and Eishes Ach cannot be a source for Eishes Ish, was somewhat ambiguous. And the Gemara wants to sharpen it up. Is it only as long as the husband is alive, that's when they are not permitted to another person, to this person. But after the husband dies, they become mutter. That's not true. Nida, Let's say Anida's husband dies. So she's still Anida. She didn't have the Zayin Yom. She didn't have the 7 days. She's still not allowed to live with another man. Eishes Ach, also, it has nothing to do if her husband's alive or dead. It has to do, Bebarim Tali Milsa, if the husband died without children. El Parachachi, says the Gemara, what the Gemara meant to ask is as follows. Malad Nida Veishes Ach, she can't ain oisim matirim. The husband doesn't make the need the mutter. She has to become clean to become mutter. Deishes ach, it's not the husband that makes her mutter or usser. It makes the children that he has or doesn't have is the factor. Taim veishes ish, which is different than an eishes ish, oisr matira, that if a husband divorces her, she's allowed to get married to another man. So we're back to where we started. How can we learn eishes ish from nida and eishes ach? Elo am Rabbi Yoina. The pasuk says, "Kikol ashiyasu mikol atoevus oel v'nichsra nefashas oisus hukshu kol arayus kulan lanida." All different arayus are compared to a nida. Man nida b'hara, just like a nida, the halacha is as soon as the pasuk was very clear, as soon as hara is done, it's considered a ma'aser bia af kol b'hara. So too, all women that are also bar erva are. As soon as Hara is done, it's considered a Maisabiyah. Says the Drisha. So if so, what is the source at this point of the Gemara, which is the Maskana of this Shaila, that Hara is considered a Maisabiyah? Nida. So he says, why from all Maisa Erva is a Nida the one that the Torah chose to teach us the source that Hara is a Maisabiyah? Says the Drisha. One would think that a Nida is a lower level Erva. Because by all other chayv krisis, as we've been learning, the halacha is that if one has relations with a chayv krisis and they have a child, that child is a mamzer. By a nida we learned the Gemara that if one has relations with his wife who's a nida, the child will not be a mamzer. So we would think that a nida maybe is a lower level erva. Teaches us the pasuk that even by a nida, if one just had a hara, it's considered a maisabia. Certainly by all other ervas, if one just had hara, it's considered a ma'isabiyah. The Shaar Metzion Balacha proves from this Gemara that having relations with a nida is not just the issue of tumim tahara, as the Gemara said before, that if one has relations with his wife who's a nida, he becomes tamei. It's considered that he did a ma'isa erva. It's considered like one like erva. It's regarding the halacha that we know that for ervas, for the avayir of rayis, the halacha is yarg val yaver. So if one is forced to have relations with his wife who's a nida, it's considered that he's being forced to do a ma'isa erva, that the halacha would be yarg val yaver. Ask the Gemara, now we go back to understanding the Pesukim. El nida de ksiva gabe eishes ach. The Pesuk by eishes ach mentioned the word nida. Now that we know that all ervis, as soon as hara is done, there's a chiyav bia, it's considered maisa bia. Why did the Torah mention the word bia by eishes ach? Lomeli. Answers the Gemara, l'chir Rav Huna. To teach us what Rav Huna said. Dom Rav Huna, remez li yivam min atar minayin. How do you know there's a mitzvah yibam? Ask the Gemara, minayin? You're looking for a hint? Haksiv, we've been learning the psukim. We're up to daf nun dalet. We learned this so many times. Yavama, yavala. There's a mitzvah yibam. Says the Gemara, what Rav Huna meant to say was, el remez li yivama shasur b'chaya ba'al minayin. How do we know that as long as a husband is alive, if he divorced her, he may not have relations with her? Says the Gemara, Hai Svaruhu. It's obvious. Midach Am Rachmana. Since the Torah told us, only after a husband dies, that's when she becomes permissible to a husband. Mechlal, the Bechai Baal Asura. Ask Taisus, why would I even think that she's Mutta Bechai Baal? Says Taisus, this is the way Taisus learns. Taisus learns that the contrast is too sharp. That as long as the husband is alive, there's a chiyuv karis. When the husband dies without children, there's a mitzvah. It's a very big contrast. So the Gemara is suggesting that maybe when the husband dies, there's a mitzvah. Before the husband dies, there's no mitzvah, but it's permissible. And that's how Taisus learns. The Ramban learns that I would compare an eishes ach perhaps to an eishes ish. Just like an eishes ish, as we just learned, after a husband divorces her, she may marry other men. Maybe an eishes ach is the same. That's what the pasuk says. again in the Gemara. How do we know that Yevama is Osir as long as a husband is alive? Hi Sfaru, says the Gemara, it's a poshta logic. Only after her husband dies is she permissible to marry her brother more. Mechlal, the Bechaya Bala, as long as her husband is alive, Asura. Ask the Gemara, the Dilma, maybe the way to interpret the Pasuk is, Lachamisis Bala, after her husband dies, mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to marry. Bechaya Bala, Rishos, as long as her husband's alive, they don't have a mitzvah, but they may be married. Or, Inamil Achamisis Bala, in. Yes, we'll interpret the Pasuk that she's only permissible to her brother-in-law after her husband dies. Bechaya Bala, as long as her husband's alive, loy. However, it won't have the status of a chiyuv karis. It'll only be an essay, because this is a lav abo mechlal essay. It has the status of lav that comes from mitzvah essay, which has the status of a say. Omakra answers the Gemara. That's what we learn from the pasuk. V'isha sheyikachas eishes achav nidahi. The question is, v'chi eishes achav nidahi, as we learned in Amud Aleph, is every sister-in-law automatically a nida? She may not be experiencing her period. Ela kanida, the Torah is comparing her to nida. Ma nida, api sheyesh lehetalach mekein. After she becomes tar, she becomes mutter. However, b'shas isura, while she has a period, karis, af eshes ach nami, so too is the din of eshes ach. Af api sheyesh lehetalach mekein, even though afterwards she'll become mutter, b'chai ba'ala b'karis. Ask the Gemara, Ella. So that's what the Torah meant when it said nida beishesach. Now ask the Gemara. Ela hara d'ksiv gab achos av achos aim. The Torah used the word hara by the erev achos av and achos aim. Lomeli, what was the point of Torah using those words? Answers the Gemara, l'chaboy minei Ravina merava. To answer the question, Ravina asked of Rava. Because he asked, hamara bezocha mahu. If somebody only had tchilas bia in a homosexual act, mahu. What is the halacha? Ask the Gemara. It's not a shayla. Bezocha mishkevei ishiksev. Any relation is considered usur. Ask the Gemara. Elamara bebehema mahu. What is the halacha if one has relations, just beginning of relations with an animal? And that, he says, omale, that's what the pasuk meant by the saying the word hara, b'chois av v'chois aim. Im ein inyal hara d'ksiv ga b'chois av v'chois aim. If it's not coming to teach us that hara is considered a ma'aseh bia by chos ava aim, because I don't need that pasuk to teach me that. To ask you, Makeshid Rabbi Yoina, we already know from Rabbi Yoina that all arayas hara is considered a ma'aseh bia. Tanei inyal hara d'behema, to teach us that a behema hara is also considered a ma'aseh bia. Ask Tosfos, why do we need a special pasuk to teach us that hara of a ma'aseh behema by behema is a ma'aseh bia? Why should a behema be different than the other erva that was saying hara is considered a ma'isabiyah? So Taisus says a number of terutzim. One Taisus says is that how do we know, as we're learning in our Gemara, that hara is considered a ma'isabiyah? Because we learn it from nida. By nida, why does the Torah use the word esmekayr? She has a prize, she has a vagina. So maybe only by a human there's a concept of hara. An animal that doesn't have a proizder, there won't be a chiv and hara. Another Tyrus Taisva says is that the Tyrus separates doing an act of bestiality from all other arayas. First the Tyrus speaks about all arayas, then the Tyrus speaks about the avera moilach, and then the Tyrus talks about mishka behema. Since the Tyrus separates it out, maybe it has different dinim. That's why you need to have a separate pasuk. And another Tyrus Taisva says is obvious Tyrus. This is not really considered a bia with an animal. That's why you need to have special dinim, special limudim, special makar, special source to teach us that this is considered a ma'aseh bia hara bebehema. Michti, ask the Gemara. Behema is a chiv misas bezdin. The iser, if somebody has relations with a behema, he's chayv misa. So the question is, hay ma'tamik sivla hara d'doigah b'chayv krisis. Why did the Torah choose to teach us that if one has hara with a behema, it's considered a ma'aseh bia by an avera that's only a chiv karis? A chos av, a chos aim is only a chiv karis. Lichtoiv, gab and mises bezdin. Wouldn't it make more sense that the place to use this, to teach this din, that hara of a behema is by another erva Mrs. Besdin, the nail of Mrs. Besdin and Mrs. Besdin. Isn't that a better match to teach the harah of a behemoth from harah of another Mrs. Besdin versus from teaching it from a chiv karis? And as the Aruch HaNer explains, we understand why the Torah would not teach us the halacha of harah by behemoth. Because as we just explained a moment ago from Tosfos, a behemoth is so very unique. But why did the Torah teach it to us by a chiyuv karis? Shouldn't the Torah have taught it to us by Mrs. Besdin? Answers the Gemara, you're right. Under normal circumstances, the best place to teach us is to teach it to us by a Maisa Besdin. However, I did the kula kro l'drosh asi. Since this entire pasuk of a chayis av a chayisem, as we're going to learn now, comes to teach us different halachas, ksibay nami hay milsa drasha. So this is also, this entire pasuk is, so to speak, superfluous, teaching us extra halachas. This is one of the other halachas that we're going to learn from this pasuk. My drasha, what does that mean? That we're learning halachas from this pasuk. The tanya ervis achicha achayis avicha lo sigala. Beinem an av beinem an aim. It doesn't make a difference if she's your paternal, if you, she's your father's paternal sister or maternal sister. At the oim ben av min meim, is that true whether she's your father's paternal or maternal sister? Or an elam el min av, perhaps only if she's your father's paternal sister. V'loim min aim, not a maternal sister. V'dinhu, says the Gemara, the logic is that it should make no difference. Because chayif kan, the loch is that if one has relations with a sister of his father, he's doing a mais erva. And one has relations with his sister, he's chayiv. Ma choysoi. Just like the halacha is that if one has relations with a sister, his sister, there's no halacha, beimen av meimen aim, whether she's your maternal or paternal sister, afkan, so to I'll say, your father's sister, and it makes no difference, beimen av meimen aim, if she's your paternal, your father's paternal or maternal sister. Oi, halach l'darach ser. Perhaps one could take a different approach. Chayiv kan, one is chayiv if he has relations with his father's sister, v'chayiv b'didosoi, and he's chayiv if he has relations with his aunt, his father's brother's wife. Ma didosoi, when it comes to having a relation with an aunt, it's only an aunt who's your father's paternal brother's wife. Min af, miloy min aim, not your father's maternal brother's wife. Af kan, here too perhaps, min af, v'loy min aim, only your father's paternal sister, not your father's maternal sister. So now, in other words, what we're up to here is the Torah tells us you're not allowed to have relations with your father's sister. But the question is, what does the Torah mean with a sister? Doesn't mean, it certainly means a paternal sister, or is a maternal sister included or not? Do we compare it to your sister, where the halacha is we don't differentiate between maternal and paternal, or do we speak about an aunt, where there is only the halacha by a paternal aunt, not a maternal aunt? So we don't know. Nir l'midoinim. What's more similar? Donin isaba me'elov. Misaba me'elov. Your sister is a relationship that comes by itself. And your father's sister is similar, a relationship that didn't come through Kedushin. She's your father's blood relative. V'atecheich didasoi. Don't bring an aunt, which is not an isaba me'elov. It's not a blood relative. And therefore, it should not be a better fit. A better comparison. Or the Gemara says, maybe not. Your father's sister and your father's brother's wife are both relatives of your father. Whereas your sister is not from the previous generation. It's the same generation. So again, we still don't know what the Torah means when it says you're not allowed to have relations with your father's sister. Is it only paternal or even maternal? Talma loymer, ervas achicha achayis avecha lois gala, beim an av, beim an aim, ervas achayis emecha lois gala, and the same thing with your mother's sister, beim an av, beim an aim. The question is, lom li lamichtav b'achayis aim, so that's why we need this pasuk, and that's what the Gemara meant when it said that this pasuk is coming to teach me drashas. Ask the Gemara, Lomeli lemichtav b'chayis aim, Av lomeli lemichtav b'chayis aim. Why do we have to have both psukim to teach us that by a father's sister, both a maternal and maternal sister are asur, and by a mother's sister, both paternal and maternal are asur? Amar v'utzrichi. We need to have both psukim. Dikas rechmona b'chayis av. If it would only say this, then by your father's sister, you are considered a member of your father's family. Your yichus doesn't follow your mother's family. There I would suggest that it's only a maternal, not paternal system. If the Torah only said this halacha by your mother's sister, she came by does. You always can be sure that your mother is your mother. Yes, of course, we could assume that your father is your father, but it's not as certain as your mother. Loi tzricha. That's why we have to have the pasuk both by chayis av and chayis aim. That means maternal and paternal sisters. Says the Gemara furthermore, but the pshita lelatana, the Braisa said. The Braisa assumed that when the Torah says you're not allowed to have relations with your father's brother's wife, it only means your father's paternal brother, not your father's maternal brother. For the dos of the pshita leilatana, the mina av v'loy mina aim, only your father's maternal brother's wife, paternal brother's wife, not maternal. Menolei, how does the Tana know that? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, Asya doy 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 doy. Ksiv hacha, ervis doy doy v'gila, v'ksiv hasam, there it's referring that if a member of your family was sold into slavery, you have to free him. Malahalon, which family has to liberate this person? The father's family goes before the mother's family. That's how Rashi explains. Others say that it's only the father's family that has to liberate. The mother's family has no obligation. It's only your father's paternal sister, paternal brother's wife, not maternal brother's wife. Ask the Gemara of Hosmanolan, and how we know when it comes to liberating somebody, it's only the father's family that has to do it, not the mother's family. Omikra, mishtachto yigalena, the family. Mishpachas av kruya mishpacha, your father's family is the family from which you have a yichas, and that's why that's considered your mishpacha. And those are the people that have to liberate the person that was Nebuch, because he has no funds, sold into slavery, mishpachas aim ain't a kroy mishpacha, and that mishpachdoi, and that's why the father's family takes precedence, and that's how we know that doidosoi means your father's paternal brother's wife, not your father's maternal brother's wife.